Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning, everyone. Last night, there was perhaps the most contentious confirmation hearing yet for a Trump cabinet nominee, but hardly anyone noticed because the news was obsessing on President Obama commuting Chelsea Manning's prison sentence. So we will talk about both things to start the show today. First, the confirmation hearing for Betsy DeVos to be Education Secretary. Democratic Senator Patty Murray objected to even the fact of the hearing because DeVos was the first of Trump's nominees allowed to get her questioning out of the way before submitting an ethics review.
I am extremely disappointed that we are moving forward with this hearing before receiving the proper paperwork from the Office of Government Ethics. When President Obama entered the White House, Republicans insisted on having an ethics letter in hand before moving to a hearing. In fact, Leader McConnell wrote a letter to Leader Reid making that explicit demand, an ethics letter in hand with time to review and an FBI background check before a hearing was held. So I am extremely concerned, and I can only hope that cutting corners and rushing nominees through will not be the new norm.
Democratic Senator Patty Murray of Washington State. Now, Senator Murray had one of the key exchanges with DeVos on substance as well. DeVos is best known as an advocate for taxpayer-funded vouchers for religious schools and other private schools. So Senator Murray asked her this.
Can you commit to us tonight that you will not work to privatize public schools or cut a single penny from public education?
Senator, thanks for that question. I look forward, if confirmed, to working with you to talk about how we address the needs of all parents and all students. And we acknowledge today that not all schools are working for the students that are assigned to them. And I'm hopeful that we can work together to find common ground and ways that we can solve those issues and empower parents to make choices on behalf of their children that are right for them.
I take that as not being willing to commit to not privatizing public schools or cutting money from education.
Well, I guess I wouldn't characterize it in that way.
Well, okay.
Betsy DeVos and Patty Murray. And with me now is Politico's Caitlin Emma covering the DeVos nomination. Hi, Caitlin. Thanks for coming on. Welcome to WNYC.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Can we talk about the ethics review first? What is an ethics review of a nominee? And is it a change in norms, as Senator Murray suggested, that confirmation hearings are taking place before they're submitted?
Well, as you probably well know, Betsy DeVos is one of the wealthiest members of Trump's cabinet, and all cabinet members are subject to ethics and financial scrutiny. And her paperwork in particular, I guess, is taking a very long time for the Office of Government Ethics to parse through because there's such an enormous amount of it. So the Office for Government Ethics has yet to complete that review, and her hearing was held before that has been completed. So it's sort of unclear how this office will weigh in on some of her, you know, potential conflicts of interest or financial entanglements. And the senators were upset, Democratic senators were upset that the hearing went forward without that information. So Senator Lamar Alexander, who is the chairman of the Health Committee, you know, said yesterday that they will hold a vote on Tuesday on her confirmation, provided that the Office for Government Ethics finishes that review by this Friday. So hopefully there'll be some answers at that point. I know Democratic senators would certainly love to see that information.
There would have been the same number of nominees in past administrations, right? The number of cabinet secretaries isn't going up. Why is it that a number of the nominees haven't gotten their ethics reviews done, which doesn't seem to have happened in the past before the hearings?
Well, I can't speak to the other nominees, but I know that, you know, Betsy is obviously has a vast, record of wealth and there are political donations and charitable donations that she has to disclose. And the Office for Government Ethics so far has said that you know, these reviews can take a very long time. Mm-hmm. And although I suppose Betsy DeVos handed her paperwork in the day early, it just hasn't been enough time to complete that review.
So as a group, more really rich people with more really complex finances to review.
Yeah, I would say that probably factors into it, yeah.
And just one other thing on this. Is DeVos considered likely to be hiding anything? Or is this routine? Like with Tom Price, the Health and Human Services nominee, there are some specific questions about whether he invested in medical device companies just before introducing legislation that would benefit those companies, things like that.
Well, Democratic senators have expressed a lot of concern about what her, possible conflicts of interest or financial entanglements might be. I mean, her charitable donations go very deeply into organizations that have supported, you know, school choice, and to political candidates that have supported school choice. School choice, I mean, you know, by that I mean the expansion of charter schools or private school vouchers, which, you know, provide public funding for private school options for kids. So there is some concern there among the Democratic senators that, you know, she might not be able to fairly do her job given those contributions in the past.
So on the exchange we played about taking money out of public schools, I guess that's the biggest substantive question. DeVos does want tax money, especially for poor kids' education, to be more in control of the family and less in control of the neighborhood school. Did she just say that flat out?
Well, she didn't say that flat out. She actually didn't. She was fairly non-committal to a lot of questions that were raised. I mean, one of those questions was, you know, will you commit to, quote unquote, not privatizing education or cutting funding from public schools? She got a lot of questions on a lot of tough issues. That was one of them. And she didn't really commit to an answer. I mean, she sort of ended up falling back time and again on this refrain, like, I look forward to working with you. I look forward to talking about this, you know, that kind of thing. So we really didn't get a firm, you know, yes, I will be taking money away from public schools and putting them into private schools. She did not say that. But she was very careful and structured about the way that she answered. So that if she, you know, were to take on efforts that support school choice, private schools or charter schools over public schools, that, you know, I suppose that won't come back to hurt her.
Did they get to the success or failure of religious or other private school voucher programs, their failure or success at improving educational outcomes for poor kids in Michigan, where she's been involved with such programs?
Right. She did get a very she got a tough question about the Michigan charter school sector. And as you, I'm sure, have seen, there's been so much news coverage about what happens there and her donations to that sector and whether or not those schools really boosted outcome for kids, you know, particularly in Detroit. And so that was one of the questions where she actually pushed back pretty, what I consider pretty hard. She, you know, said right off the bat that she believed a lot of the information that has come to light in Michigan is quote-unquote false news. So she was sort of taking like a page out of Donald Trump's playbook there and, you know, pushed back really hard. She said that these schools are held accountable. They've always been held accountable. She said that 122 charter schools have been closed since they were allowed in the state. So that was actually one of her stronger answers in terms of sort of standing up for what happened there and what she invested in.
DeVos has given money to Focus on the Family and other religious political advocacy groups. How much is she considered a crusader for religious power as opposed to simply her best vision of education policy?
The Focus on the Family donations, you know, on behalf of her family came up yesterday. And that was actually one of the answers that I, you know, ended up getting the most traction, I think. She said, you know, while the Focus on the Family, this conservative organization that pushed so-called conversion therapy to sort of change LGBT individual, you know, identity, you know, she said, although her family has donated lots of money to that organization, she's never, quote-unquote, never believed in conversion therapy. And she did say multiple times that she embraces equality and that she wants to ensure, you know, every student attends a school where they feel safe and protected. So if anybody was trying to pin her down on, you know, possible anti-LGBT sentiments or efforts, she, you know, didn't really didn't really do that last night. She sort of said that she was going to stand up for all kids. So that's about all we heard from her on that subject.
And here's one more exchange, and it's back to her wealth. This question from Senator Bernie Sanders.
Mrs. DeVos, there is a growing fear, I think, in this country that we are moving toward what some would call an oligarchic form of society, where a small number of very, very wealthy billionaires control, to a significant degree, our economic and political life. Would you be so kind as to tell us how much money your family has contributed to the Republican Party over the years?
Senator, first of all, thank you for that question. I was pleased to meet you in your office last week. I wish I could give you that number. I don't know.
I have heard the number was $200 million. Does that sound in the ballpark?
Collectively, between
my entire
family, that's possible.
Okay. My question is, and I don't mean to be rude, but do you think if you were not a multi-billionaire, if your family has not made hundreds of millions of dollars of contributions to the Republican Party, that you would be sitting here today?
Senator, as a matter of fact, I do think that there would be that possibility. I've worked very hard on behalf of parents and children for the last almost 30 years to be a voice for parents and to voice for students and to empower parents to make decisions on behalf of their children, primarily low-income children.
Thank you.
Senator Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump's nominee to be Education Secretary, Betsy DeVos, at her confirmation hearing last night. We're talking to Caitlin Emma, who's covering DeVos's nomination for Politico. Caitlin, does Senator Sanders think DeVos is being rewarded as patronage rather than because she is ideologically in tune with President-elect Trump? She is an education reform advocate, not just a Republican donor, right?
Right. She is a longtime education reform advocate. She spent a lot of her money and her time pushing for the expansion of charter schools and private school options for kids. She has said in the past that she wasn't, exactly enthusiastic about Donald Trump's candidacy. She, donated money to Jeb Bush as a candidate. She donated money to Marco Rubio. I believe that she ended up endorsing John Kasich in the end. So she was never a strong Donald Trump supporter.
They're all on the same page, by the way, on this issue, primarily, right? Basically, the question of vouchers for religious and other private schools. I mean, if you go down the line of the Republican primary candidates who you mentioned, Bush and Kasich and Trump, and all of them were pretty much for that, right?
Right. They do all sort of support the same ideals. I actually published a story earlier this month about her ties to Jeb Bush and their longstanding relationship to sort of push for these policies across the country, in addition to her donations to an education reform group that, Jeb Bush started called the Foundation for Excellence in Education. So, she aligns probably more closely to those candidates when, we were sort of unclear and whether Donald Trump, had strong feelings about education. So for the most part, I think that Senator Sanders was, criticizing her for, her donations to Republicans, but she's also gotten a lot of scrutiny for donating to, Republicans who will be voting for her, on her confirmation. So that I think is definitely part of it and is a major problem for Senator Sanders.
Phil in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hi, Phil.
Good morning, everybody. I'm calling because my wife is a teacher, and one of the reasons I think this woman was picked was because of her influence and ability to maybe open up charter schools and privatize the school system in a way that would weaken the teachers union. And I wonder if you guys can maybe just discuss what your feelings are about her ability to maybe influence the teachers unions or weaken them. And in a time when kids really do need the best education possible.
Yeah, we talked about this on yesterday's show, too. Caitlin, how much power would she have as education secretary, with or without new acts of Congress?
Mm-hmm. Well, the education secretary is not known for being one of the most powerful or critical cabinet members, but she would have substantial authority, I think, to at least incentivize states to try and expand their school choice options, to try and expand charter schools or private school options for students. I mean, whether that money comes from Congress or comes from, you know, grants at the Education Department, it sort of remains to be seen. But she did say last night that she, you know, was not going to push for some kind of federal mandate or force school choice on states or school districts. You know, she made that very clear that that should be a local decision. So really, I think that the most that she can do is sort of incentivize states that, you know, might want to expand these options to allow that and probably give them the resources to do so. In terms of teachers unions, I mean, I fully expect the, you know, at least at the national level, the American Federation for Teachers and the National Education Association will be fighting, you know, tooth and nail against Betsy DeVos. They have been so far. I don't expect that will stop. In fact, I think that they're holding rallies on Thursday, the day before the inauguration, you know, all across the country to sort of rage against this education agenda that has been, you know, posited. So I think that we can expect to see them continue fighting and continuing to have a very strong presence in communities that might not support the Trump administration's agenda.
Daniel in Babylon, you're on WNYC. Hi, Daniel.
Hello?
Hi, Daniel. You're on the air.
Hi. I really love that you allow me to take this time to speak. I'm a longtime listener, and when it comes to the hearings, my biggest issue when it came to her was not just that what you said earlier about how she one of her main criteria might actually be just that she had donated, her and her family had donated hundreds of millions of dollars to the Republican Party in general. But the other issue that I saw was that when she was asked a question on the gun-free zones in schools, her answer was twofold bad. One, her answer was essentially that it was as if it was a rubber stamp that she should support anything and everything that the president came up with. Her job as the secretary of whatever group, whatever agency, is to be a counselor, a learned professional within that field in order to advise the president. In other words, to be the person that's the adult in the room or the scholar in the room who gives information. But then the other issue was she couldn't say that guns in schools weren't a problem, and she was saying this to a senator from Connecticut. And his answer afterward was amazing when he said, I'll look forward to working with you and having you coming back to Sandy Hook and speaking to those people.
Right, and that was Senator Chris Murphy from Connecticut, who, of course, represents the families at Sandy Hook, as well as the rest of the state, and that's why he asked that question. And so, Caitlin, Emma from Politico, can you clarify the gun-free zone issue? Is there a federal rule promulgated by the Department of Education that there has to be gun-free zones around every public school, and that Donald Trump is against that? Is that what this issue is?
Well, Donald Trump made a campaign promise to end federal gun-free zones, and she essentially said last night that she would support it. The Federal Gun-Free Zone Act bans possessing a firearm in a school zone. So at one point, she sort of, you know, speculated that, you know, that there was conversation about a rural school in Wyoming, where earlier in the hearing, Senator Mike Enzi had said the school had a problem warding off grizzly bears. And during the hearing that she said, you know, maybe that school would want, she said, actually, quote unquote, I would imagine that the school would want, that has a gun, to protect it from the bears. That sort of obviously, you know, took off on Twitter, and it was people sort of
right, after,
know,
Sandy Hook, that's the response, is there's a school somewhere in the wild that needs a gun to protect against grizzly bears. But her bottom line position was that it should be up to the local school districts, right? The federal government under Trump, as she understands it, would not ban local gun-free zones. They would just not impose them from Washington. They would leave it up to the local school districts. Do I understand her correctly?
Right. I mean, she did. She didn't sort of, you know, defer from Donald Trump in any way on this. I mean, she said that she would fulfill, that she seems to support a campaign promise to end federal gun-free zones. So in essence, she was saying that it should be left up to, you know, states school districts to decide this issue if they feel like guns should be available on school campuses.
All right. So we're just about out of time. I'm just curious, looking forward to the scheduled full Senate vote, which I guess would be next Tuesday, is that the committee vote? If these ethics review documents come back with anything questionable, do you think we're likely to see the Democrats make a big stink about Betsy DeVos even after her hearing, or is this likely to sail through now because the Republicans have the majority?
I mean, I think it's really unclear what the Office of Government Ethics is going to turn up. I think that Democrats will likely make a big stink. Otherwise, they were very upset last night that they didn't have more time to ask questions. They felt that she stumbled over a number of issues and that they didn't get enough time to really dig in on the issues that they wanted to. You know, for example, she at one point seemed confused about sort of a bedrock civil rights special education law, and that was very alarming to some Democrats. And they sort of, Senator Al Franken pointed that as a need to, a reason why they need to ask for more questions. But numbers-wise, I don't think her performance swayed any Republican opinion. And she does have she does have the votes to get confirmed. So, but we'll have to see what comes up of the review of her paperwork, if there's anything in there that will, end up making a splash.
Caitlin Emma covering the Betsy DeVos nomination for Politico. Thank you so much.
Thank you.